Today's shir is Masechta Bav Mitzvah Daf Ayin, and we will begin on Daf Samach Tes Amid Beis, 8 lines from the bottom, Sfinta. The Gemara discusses the halachis of renting a boat. Amar Rav, Agra Upagra. Someone who rents a boat is entitled to collect both rent and damages. Immediately ask the Gemara, Amalei Rav Kahana Rav Asi L'Rav, I Agra, if you're collecting rent like Pagra, you're not entitled to damages. And I Pagra, if you're collecting damages like Agra, you're not entitled to rent. And as the Mefarshim explained the Gemara, we have two distinct type of situations. We can have a rental situation where when I rent something out, I'm entitled to get my rental fee. But understood when I rent something is that the item that I'm renting is going to deteriorate, and because it's going to deteriorate, depreciate, that's why I'm collecting rent. And therefore, if the item does indeed depreciate, I don't deserve that payment for that damages. On the other hand, if I lend something out, I am entitled to damages, but I'm not entitled to rent. So the Gemara's question is that if I'm collecting both, it seems that what's happening here is that we actually have a loan, that the loan is being collected, that I'm getting interest on the loan, that the fact that I get paid in full if something happens to item is a proof that we have a loan here. And the rental collection that I'm collecting every month seems to be an interest payment. So how could this be mutter? Shasuk Rav. When Rav was confronted with this question, he remained silent. Om Rav Sheshes, comments Rav Sheshes, my time is Shasuk Rav. Why did Rav remain silent? L'shmila hadatanya, didn't he learn what we learned in the following Brisa? The Brisa says, Api Shamru. Even though the halach is, as we're going to learn soon in Mitzvah Shem, that ain't the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Beis, Ayin Omid Beis. Ain't when Kabum Tsoim Barzim Yisrael, the halach is that one is not allowed to collect Tsoim Barzim. Tsoim Barzim means that I make an investment, that I'm going to and the investment is that whatever I'm putting in, I'm going to get back. And the only question is, will I also get back profit? And that's why it's called Tsoim Barzel. Barzel meaning iron. That this is a investment that I'm guaranteed to get back my principal. And teaches us the Brisa, that Eim Akam Tsoim Barzel Yisrael, one may not enter into such an arrangement with another Jew. We are allowed to enter into such arrangement with Nochrim. Aval Amru. However, Chazal said, if somebody assesses the value of a cow with somebody else, that means I'm putting up the cow and somebody else is going to do the work, raising the cow, working with the cow. Vamaloi. And when I put up my cow, I say, the value of the cow is 30 dinar, and therefore if something happens to the cow, you're going to have to pay me $30. And also, the renter says, I'll pay a rental fee of a seller per month, the halacha is mutter, that such a transaction is mutter, because they haven't assessed a value to the cow. Immediately asked the Gemara, V'loy Asa, have they not assessed a value to the cow? We just said that there's a value, 30 dinar, which is being assessed to the cow. How are we saying that they haven't assessed a value to the cow? Amrav Sheshes, what it means is, V'loy Asa Dav Mechayim. It's not that there's a certain monetary obligation. The obligation only kicks in, Elo La'achemisa. That means, if nothing happens to the animal, so then it's a pure rental, and he's going to have to get his rental, whatever the fee is, on a monthly basis. However, if it's if the animal dies, then the halacha will be that the renter will be liable for the value of the cow. Since he's only going to have to pay for the value of the cow if the animal dies, otherwise he's only going to have to pay the rental fee. So this cannot be considered a regular loan, and rather it's considered a rental that will have to be replaced if something happens to the cow. And that's exactly what Rav said, agro pagra. If nothing happens to the boat, he's going to have to pay the rental fee. If something happens to the boat, then he'll have to pay for the value of the boat if the boat gets ruined. Amra papa, hilchasa, and indeed that is the halacha, now that we learned this brisa, that by sfina, one can collect agra upagra, rent and damages. V'nagu b'nei kufra, continues the Gemara to say, b'nei kufra are the people who actually rent boats. Kufra means tar, and they used to coat the boats with tar that they should become waterproof. So that's why people who rent boats are called b'nei kufra, that they get agra b'shas m'shicha, the rental fee they get at the time that they enter into the rental agreement, and pagra, the damages they get b'shas shvira, at the time that they, if and when the ship breaks. And as Ramosha points out in the Dibris Moshe, even though we have learned schiris is einem shtalem sal b'soif, that halachically rental fees are only paid at the end of the term, here the rental fee is paid at the beginning. So Ramosha points out, because the halacha is that we always follow the minig, and here the minig is, because of the halacha concerns that we have identified, that the rental fee should be paid at the beginning of the term. Ask the Gemara, Otamim and Hago, Taya Milsa. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara's question, is the same question that was asked earlier. How can the minig allow this to happen, that you should have to pay both rental fee and the whole damages? But if it's a rental, it's not a loan. And if it's a loan, it's not a rental. The same question that was asked earlier, to which the Gemara says, Mishun de Mesnisa Tanya Menhaga. We're following what we learned in the Braisa. That's the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara, Rashi explained the Gemara, that the Braisa teaches us that under such circumstances, that even though it's a rental, but there was an agreement made up that if the item that's being rented will get completely damaged, that the halacha is that then he'll pay the value that was assessed. That is a transaction that's mutter, because really it's a rental, and yes, it's a rental that's being, we're also assessing if something will happen to it. However, says the Meiri, that even though this is completely mutter, we can now understand the minig that they had, that they collected the rent at the beginning of the term, even though normally the rent is paid at the end of the term, because they wanted, if the ship will indeed get damaged, and then the ship owner will collect both the rent and the damages, it will have an appearance of ribbis when he collects both of those types of payments. So to avoid any appearance of ribbis, what they did was they paid the rental at the beginning of the term, and then if there'll be damages, that will be paid at the end of the term, and there'll be less of a appearance of ribbis. That's how Rashi and the Meiri explain the Gemara. According to Rashi's opinion, if the item that's being rented breaks, he takes the, how much does he have to pay? The person who rented it, he has to pay the value it had when he took possession of this item. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. However, Tosfos and most other Rishonim explain the Gemara that if the item that was rented depreciated before it breaks, then the renter only pays what it was worth at the time of breakage, not at the time of the rental. Says the Gemara, Amar of Anan Amar Shmuel, Marshal Yisaimim, money of a Yosim, if somebody is administering the money of a Yosim, Mutar Lahalvoisim Barovis, the money may be lent out on rivers. Machloikis Rishonim, how to understand what Rav Anan means? Does Rav Anan refer to Ribbis Daraisa, some Rishonim saying? And Rav Anan holds that even Ribbis Daraisa Yisoimim may accept. Others say that Rav Anan is strictly referring to Ribbis Darabonim. Taisus and the Rishonim also ask an obvious question. We have learned that not only is the Malva, is the lender over the Aveira of Ribbis, but the Loiva and the Arev and the Edim all are over in the Isser of Ribbis. So even if we'll explain, and as the Gemara will go into it, that perhaps we could be lenient regarding the Yosim himself, who's the Malva on Ribbis, but how do we allow Ribbis for the rest of the people here who are not in that category? So Taisa says a very big chiddush, and it's a yesod in Hilchos Ribbis. Taisa says that even if we'll say that Ribbis, that even if the halacha, not if, it is the halacha, the Ribbis applies to everyone, not just to the Malva, the only time the Loiva, the Arev, and the Edim are over the Aveira of Ribbis is when the Malva is over the Aveira of Ribbis. But if we're learning now that this is a, there are circumstances that the Malva is not over Ribbis, then no one else either will be over Ribbis in such a situation. Amalei Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman is very bothered with Rav Anan's statement. Mishum the Yasmininu, just because these individuals are Yusaimim, Safinaloi Esura, do we allow them to accept Ribbis, which as we have been learning is such a serious Isser? Yasmin the Achla, the law of the two, says Rav Nachman, if Yusaimim will take something that they're not entitled to, in other words, if they will accept Ribbis, Lezlu Basar Shefkayu, they ought to go after the people who made them into Yisoimim. In other words, he's saying a very sharp curse that they have no reason to live. But Rashi explains, Amalei, so Rav Nachman said to Rav Anan, it's inconceivable that you heard from Shmuel explicitly that Shmuel holds that you're allowed, that Yisoimim may collect Ribbis. What must have happened is that you saw some incident that made you assume, based on that incident, that Yisoimim allowed to collect Ribbis. And he asks him, Ezu. Some Rishonim say that Ezu means, give me exact details. Another Pshat is, Ezu, my friend, explain to me, Guf of the Hechahava, exactly what happened that caused you to assume that Yisoimim could collect Ribbis. Amalei, Hahu Duda Dabai Marukfa. Marukfa passed away. He left Yisoimim, and he left a copper pot. Dava Bei Mashmul, and Mashmul was the apotropis, was the administrator of these assets of these Yisoimim. Talk of Yavle, he would weigh the pot before he would rent it out, and talk of a Shokale, and he would weigh it when he took it back. And he would collect the damages, the depreciation of the pot. Shokel agra, so he would collect the rent for renting out this copper pot. For shokel pachsa, and he also would collect the depreciation. And as Rav Anan says, as we learned from the beginning of this year, I agra le pachsa, if you're entitled to rent, you should not be entitled to damages. Vi pachsa le agra, and if you're entitled to damages, you shouldn't be entitled to rent. It seems that the fact that he took rent and damages is a proof that he was taking, that it was a loan, and that's why he was taking damages, and the rent is the ribbis on top of the loan. So we see that you're allowed to take ribbis by Yisoimim. So according to the Rishonim that said that Rav Anan was saying his psak by ribbis d'rabbanan, this is a situation of Ribbis Darabonan, and that's how Rav Anan extrapolated that Yisoimim may collect Ribbis Darabonan. But according to the Pshat that we said that Rav Anan was saying his opinion, even by Ribbis Daraisa, so if this was the incident that Rav Anan based his ruling on, This is a situation of Ribbis Rabbanon. How did he say that Ribbis Raisa is mutter based on an incident that involved Ribbis Rabbanon? Answer those Rishonim. That Rav Onan felt that if Ribbis were usher by Yisaimim, then Chazal would have assered, would have prohibited all Ribbis. The fact that we see, says Rav Anan, that Shmuel allowed Ribbis to Rabbanon by Yisaimim, it must be that he also allowed Ribbis to Raisa. Amalei, so Rav Nachman said, your proof is not a proof, because Kiha, as we explained from the beginning of this year, such a transaction, afilu b'deknini namishar lemevid, even older Yisaimim could enter into such a transaction. And there's a very interesting Trumas Hadeshin that the Gros says that the opinion of Trumas Hadeshin is based on these words of the Gemara. As we're going to soon learn in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, there are situations where Chazal were lenient by Yisaimim. Now normally we would understand that Chazal should be lenient by Yisaimim Ktanim, Yisaimim who are below the age of Bar Mitzvah. But the Trumas Hadeshin says that that's not the factor to look at. We have to look at if the Yisaimim are financially independent or not financially independent. If they're financially independent, there are no special dispensations. If they're not financially independent, there are special dispensations. As to grow, where do we take this shear of being financially independent versus not being financially independent? Says Trumas Hadeshin's shear. Says the Grah, what does the word deknini mean? The word deknini means that they have a beard. So what's pshat that they have a beard? What does the beard have to do anything with it? Says the Grah, what the Gemara means. That if the Yisraelim already have their own beard, they're already financially independent, then the special dispensations that apply to Yisraelim will not longer apply to them. If, however, then they're not financially independent, they don't have a beard yet, there are special dispensations. Why? Explains the Gemara, this is a special situation where they're allowed to collect the deterioration of the copper, the kama, the mikli nachsha, bots dame. The more that the copper gets burnt off, the pat is worth less. And as the Rishonim explained the Gemara, certainly it was a situation of rental. And as we said at the beginning this year, included in every rental agreement is that I recognize that the item I'm renting is depreciating, and that's what I'm collecting rent for. Over here, when they rented a pot, this copper pot, actually two things were happening. One was that the pot, the copper was getting burnt off, was depreciating, and that's why he was collecting rent. But there's another factor which is unique to pots, explains Rav Nachman. A pot that is somewhat burnt off, that its copper is somewhat burnt off, is not as good of a pot as a pot who doesn't have that problem that the copper was burnt off. When they were collecting the depreciation, they weren't collecting the depreciation because of burnt off copper. That the rental fee covered. They were collecting a separate fee because the pot that they now owned wasn't such a good pot. And they can't collect the same type of rental fee for a pot that isn't such a good pot. And that was the second payment that they were getting. But it wasn't a special payment that they were entitled to because they were Yisaimim. Amar Rav Bashel, Amar Rav Chizda, Vamalei Amar Rav Yosef Bachama, Amar Rav Sheshes, Marshal Yisaimim, the money of Yisaimim, Mutar Lalvoisim, Karav Leschar, V'Rochak Lehefsid. You're allowed to rent, you're allowed to go into a transaction, which is Karav Leschar, V'Rochak Lehefsid, which is normally at least Ribbis Rabbanon, by Yisaimim Wemekel. What is the category of Karav Leschar, V'Rochak Lehefsid? So first we'll quote the Ritva's Pshat, because it's the easiest Pshat. As we have learned in the previous Shurim, we learned that there's a concept of Iska. But we learned that in an Iska relationship where one person makes the investment of the money or the item and the other person runs the business, it's crucial that the person who runs the business should get a wage. Says the Ritva, what the Gemara said means to say here is, by Yisaimim, we could be a little more lenient in how particular, we have to be in the wage that's being received by the worker. That's the Ritva's pshat. Rashi's pshat is that what the Gemara here means is that I'm leaving an item by the Yosem as a pikadon, with the understanding that if the item, he has to return the item, and if there's any profit, the Yosem will get a share in the profit. Which, even though, as we've been learning, normally that's Osir, because it looks like ribbis, because he's getting paid for leaving the item, still, since it's not ribbis ktsutsa, it's not a predetermined rate of interest that he's going to receive, it's only a situation that if there's profit, which is generated by the very item that was left by the person, that's why it's a unique situation, and that's why it's mutter specifically by Yosem. In fact, there's a machloikas rishonim, which maybe is connected to the previous machloikas rishonim we just said. If this special dispensation that Chazal are giving for Yosemim apply to all ribbis to Rabbanim, some rishonim say it's specifically this situation that Rashi just identified, which is really not ribbis, because it's not that he's getting profit on his money no matter what. It's only that he's getting profit if the very item that he gave away generates profit. That's where Chazal will make it by Yisoyimim. But by any other ribbis, Chazal will not make it. Other Rishonim, however, say that Chazal will make it by all ribbis Rabbonon by Yisoyimim. Furthermore, it's interesting to note that I saw another opinion that says, let's say somebody has, I'm vaguely discussing this, let's say somebody is a partner with Yosemim, and there was profit made, and some of the profit is because of ribbis to Rabbanon, and some of the profit is honest, non-ribbis profit. Because we're referring to a ribbis to Rabbanon situation, says Rabbi Vega, and by the Rabbanon we have a concept that we say yesh breira, we assign the non-ribbis profit to the non-yosem partner, and the ribbis profit, the ribbis drabonim profit, to the yosem, who may, as we just said, collect ribbis drabonim, and such a partnership and such profits can be divided that way. There's also opinions cited by certain rishonim that just like Chazal were lenient by Yosemim, Chazal were lenient by Tzedakah. Tzedakah funds can be lent out for ribbis d'rabbanan, or at least karav l'schar v'rochak l'hefsid. And some Paiskim want to even suggest, the Magen Avraham discusses this, that if somebody needs food l'tzarche Shabbos, and the only way he could earn money is by lending the money out with ribbis, perhaps we could also be makel. In fact, perhaps this is the basis for something that's very commonly done. The Rav Moshe discusses in the Tshuvas. Many times people want to print svarim, and they need to borrow money to print svarim, and they borrow money from individuals, and when they print the sefer, in the sefer they indicate. And they say thank you to the different individuals who lent them money. So why, asks Rav Moshe, isn't this a situation of ribbis? Because as we're going to learn in our perek, ribbis tvarim, even if ribbis isn't a financial payment, it's just a thank you that you normally wouldn't have done, it's usur. So here, by publicly thanking this individual, why is it not considered ribbis, albeit maybe at least ribbis drabonim? So Rav Moshe actually says that what the person should write in the sefer is not that he writes that he's thanking this individual for lending him money, which, as I just said, may end up being a question of ribbis drabonim. But what he should do is he should say HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless this individual who helped me print the sefer. So I'm not thanking him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, is thanking him. But if we'll say that by a dvar mitzvah ribbis drabonim is mutter, then that may be another reason why it's mutter. In general, the Paiskim try to find a reason to be lenient on such a under such circumstances, because the Paiskim say the famous Tshuvas HaRashba, that the Rashba says Mefarsimin Isa Mitzvah, we should publicize people who do mitzvahs, and that's why these people's names are being printed in the Sefer, to publicize the mitzvah that they did in helping print the Sefer. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Karv L'Schar V'Rachak L'Hefsid, if an investor goes into a business venture where he's likely to make profit and unlikely to take any loss, such a person is a Rasha. Because as we've learned, that's a situation of Ribbis Rabbonim. Somebody who enters into a relationship of Karv L'Hefsid V'Rach L'Sar, that he's likely to lose money but not likely to make any profit, such a person is a Chassid. The situation that we're referring to is that he takes percentage of the profit, but he accepts liability under all circumstances. So since it's karvless, that's called karvless hefsid v'rachel geschah. So Mefarshim asks, why is he called a chassid? Isn't he called a chassid shaita? If you enter into a transaction where you're more likely to lose than to make money, you should be considered a chassid shaita. So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is that, and this is the basis for everything we learn in this perek, there is a point in lending money to somebody that the person should be able to be on his own two feet and earn a living. That's what the Gemara means. I enter into a deal, and I enter into a transaction where I'm not likely to make any money. But even though I'm not likely to make any money, I'm doing it just because I want to help my friend stand on his own two feet and be able to make a living. That's not a chassid shaita, that's a real chassid. Another pshat is it really depends on will I get profit or will I net get profit. The way we explain the Gemara is referring to a situation that he's not going to have profit. So since he's not going to have profit, so then he's considered, we don't understand his action. The way the other Rishonim say is, he's going to get profit, but it's a situation that he's not that likely to get profit, but since there is a possibility of him getting profit, we can't call him a chassid shaita. Karv l'zeh l'zeh, if somebody, it's equal chance to make or to lose. Rachak mizeh mizeh, zui midas kol adam. That's the proper way of getting into a deal. Amle Rabbi Rav Yosef, hani zuzud di yasmi. Regarding the money of Yisraim, hacha avdin elhu. What should we do with that money? Amle misfin elu beidina. We should establish a bezdin. V'yavin elu zuzud zuzud. That the bezdin should give the Yisraimim money dollar for dollar, dollar at a time, as the Yisraimim need the money to live. Amalei for kakaya karna. This is not such a good situation because the Yisraimim ultimately will use up all of their money. Amalei mar hechiyavid. So Rav Yosef said to him, "So what did you do?" Amalei bet kinen gavri de isle dava pricha. We look for a person who has gold fragments. V'nektinen dahavimine. We take this gold from him as security. V'yivinale nile. And we give him the Yosem's money as investment in an Iska venture. Karv l'schar, v'rochik l'hefsid, as we just learned in the previous Gemara, that even though normally we're not allowed to enter into a business venture, which is karv l'schar, v'rochik l'hefsid, here we may. Avil dovim mesuyim, if just to take something, a specific item, should not be taken as security. The fact that I see that somebody has this item and he's able to put it up as collateral doesn't prove anything. Because who says that this item is truly his? Maybe it was left by him as a bekadin, v'asamari, and the real owner will show up, yav simonim v'shokalei, and will give identifying simonim and take it back. And the collateral that we relied on to build this entire business transaction is not really the person who we gave the money to. However, as the Rishonim explained, gold fragments are not used as collateral, as a pekodin. People don't leave gold fragments dava pricha as a bikadin. Why not? Because if I leave to have a pricha by somebody, and then if I'm concerned that the person wants to cheat me, the dava pricha has no simonim. So the fact that this person has dava pricha is a proof that it really belongs to him. Amar Rav Ashi, Tainach imishtakich gavra, this like dava pricha. It's fine if we'll find such a person who has gold fragments that he could put up as security. However, Eloi mishtakich gavra, this like dava pricha, if he doesn't have such gold fragments, nichla zuz diyasmi. In other words, and as the Mefarshim explained, to find an individual that has dava pricha is very unlikely. And therefore, what are we going to do? Elam Ravashi, Chazin and Gavra de Mafshanachsi. We look for a person who has stable property, or Mehemen, and we know that the individual is a trustworthy individual. Veshamadina de Raisa, he follows the laws of the Torah. V'loy Mekabel Shamtid Rabbanan, he was never in a situation that he was put into Chayrim. V'yav Nilei Bebeidina, and we should give him the money in Bezdin, and that's what it's mutter. So, firstly, the Torah's Chayim makes a distinction. He says in the previous Gemara, the Gemara used the words batkinon, we look. And here the Gemara says chazinon. Why? So he says a beautiful pshat. He says, in the previous Gemara we were referring to an individual who has gold fragments. And as we just explained, having gold fragments is unlikely. Such a person is unlikely to have gold fragments. So that's why we have kinon. We have to very much look for such an individual. It's hard to find such an individual. Here, according to Rav Ashi, all we need to do is to find an honest people. Honest people, chazinon. There are honest people, it's easier to find. The Rishonim also discuss, why does this transaction have to be done in Bezdin? So Rashi, as the Mordechai explains, since we're relying on a special dispensation, as we learned earlier, normally entering into a transaction, into a venture, of which is karv l'schav rochik lehefsid, is osur. It's only because it's the yisoymim, and as we learned early in the shir, not even by all yisoymim is this permitted, so we need a special heter from Bezdin to do this, and that's why the Gemara says, v'yirin v'yilin Bezdin. Other Rishonim, however, disagree with Rashi. Because they say that once our Gemara established that Yisoymim have this heter of Karv L'Schav Rak L'Hefsed, so why do I need a special heter from Bezdin? So they explain that what the Gemara means is much more fundamental. What the Gemara means to say is that, in general, the money of Yisoymim is only administered under the care and watch of Bezdin. Says the Mishnah, as we said at the beginning of this year, entering into arrangement of Tzoyin Barzel, which means that the investor will get back his investment no matter what, is Osir with Yisrael Meshu Ribis. We have a Machloikus Rishonim, if this is Ribis Doraisa or Ribis Dorabonim. Rashi learns it's Ribis Dorabonim, because the investment involves that whatever I put in is tzoyin, is ironclad, I'm going to get back my investment, and the profit I'll get only if there is profit. But if there's no profit, I won't get anything, and that's why it's not Ribis Doraisa. Rabbeinu Tam, however, disagrees, and Rabbeinu Tam says that it's considered Ribis Doraisa, because the situation of tzoyin barzel involves that not only am I guaranteed back my principal, I'm also guaranteed back a certain rate of return, which is a real Ribis Doraisa. Rashi and the Rishonim ask that why did the Mishnah have to teach us this din of Emekam Tzoyin Barzel Yisrael? If we learned in the previous Mishnah that Iska is only mutter under very certain circumstances, and risk is where I take a share in the profit and I take a share in the loss, so certainly here, where the investor is not taking any share of the loss, why should there be any shaila? So some Rishonim say that actually there is no chiddush in the din of Eimekabel Mitzrayim Be'Azma Yisrael. It's only being brought down here to teach us as an introduction that by Yisrael this type of venture is asur, but by an akum it would be mutter. Another pshat that the Rishonim give is that, as we learned in the previous Mishnayis, an iska, if the managing partner will receive a wage, is mutter. However, our case of Tzoyim Basel, even if he is receiving a wage, does not allow for the Tzoyim Basel venture to be mutter. Says the Gemara, Mnei Shu Ribbis, says the Mishnah further, Amakam Tzoyim Basel Man Akum. From Akum, it's mutter. V'lovim Mehen, on Malvin Oysom, we could borrow and lend to Akum Beribis, the Chaim Beger Toshiv, and so too is the Aloch with a Ger Toshiv. There's a Machloikis Tanoim, who is a Ger Toshiv. Some say a Ger Toshiv is a person who accepted upon himself the Zayim Mitzvah B'nai Noach, that he's going to follow all the Mitzvahs of B'nai Noach. Another Pshat Ramei's opinion is that it's a Goy who accepted upon himself not to worship Avodah Zarah. Malva Yisrael Ma'aseh Shel Akum, a Yisrael may lend a Goy's money to another Jew, Midas Akum, with the Goy's consent, Avaloi Midas Yisrael, not with the Jew's consent. And the Gemara Mitzvah Shem will explain what this means. The Mefarshim ask, why does the Mishnah have to teach us that Ribbis is mutter with a Ger Toshiv? Why does a Ger Toshiv have to be singled out? The Ger Toshiv is an Akum. And if a Mishnah says that Akum, Ribbis is mutter, obviously the same din applies by Ger Toshiv. So to answer this question, we really need to understand, this is based on the Ramban, the entire distinction between a Jew and a Goy, why by a Jew Ribbis is Osir and by a Goy Ribbis is Mutter. The Ramban says that the reason one Jew can't collect Ribbis from another Jew is because all Jews should look at each other as they're all one family. And just like if I had a close family member who needed money, I would lend the money interest free because he needs the money to live. That should be my attitude to every other Jew. But that is not our attitude to the Akum. And that's why Ribbis is permitted with Akum. However, now we can understand why the Mishnah had to single out Ger Toshiv. Regarding a Ger Toshiv, the Torah says, V'chai achicha imach, that we have an obligation to support the Ger Toshiv, financially support him. So since we have the obligation to financially support the Ger Toshiv, even though he's an Akum, perhaps because of the pasuk of Chai Ochicha Imach, he should be treated as far as Hilchus Ribbis is concerned, like a Jew, teaches us the Mishnah that still, since he's an Akum, he has the din of an Akum, and Ribbis is mutter with him. Says the Gemara, Lememra, the Mishnah says, that the first case of the Mishnah taught us the halacha of Tzoyim Basel, that I'm leaving the Tzoyim Basel by the person who's going to manage it. Lememra, the Rishus the Mekabel Kaima, that when I give the sheep over to this investor, it becomes completely his. Vremini asked the Gemara, HaMekabel Tzoyim Basel Min Anachrim, if a guy leaves over a Tzoyim Basel with me, so now, if the person who receives it, the halacha views him as the owner of the sheep, why is the halacha, the Mishnah says, that the v'lod is a p'turim and b'chayra? And as the Rishayim explains, not only is the animal that I receive p'turim and b'chayra, but even its children, I don't have to treat them as if they're Jewish-owned animals, that there's a din of b'char. But if we're saying, based on our Mishnah, that when I give something to an investor, to the partner, the managing partner, it's considered completely his, then why would they be potter from the Din HaBachar? Amar Abaye, Loikasha. Had Mekabala Antsev Zayla. The Mishnah Mesech HaBachayrus refers to a case where the owner continue taking upon himself the risk of accident and depreciation. Machlokes Rishonim, if he has to take both risks, or either one, the risk of accident or depreciation, accepting either is enough. Ha, where our Mishnah is referring to a situation, the like Kibbalah Ainz V'Zayla, the investor did not take upon himself the risk of accident and depreciation, and therefore, it's considered completely the recipient's, because he has full responsibility for the tzayin. Amalei Rava asks Rava Tabaya, either Kibbalah Mar Ainz V'Zayla, if the owner took upon himself the risk of Ainz V'Zayla, tzayin Basel, Karaslei, why are you calling this tzayin Basel? It's not tzayin Basel. He's still holding on to that responsibility. Void. Furthermore, Adatan is safer. In our Mishnah, what does it say in the Sefer? Avil kam tzayin Basel min Akam. Tzayin Basel min Akam is mutter. Why do we have to bring Akam into the mix? Lifik libidi day. But medvar mamurim. When is it said that tzayin Basel ventures are osur d'loy kibalei ointz of azayla? Only if the investor didn't accept upon himself Ainz V'Zayla. Avil kiba marva Ainz V'Zayla. Even with a Jew, Shapradami. El Amarava, Idi V'Idi, both our Mishnah and the Mishnah Masech B'Chayrus refers to a situation to like Kibbalay Mara Ainz V'Zayla, that the owner did not take the Ainz V'Zayla responsibility. So if so, why by B'Chayrus is the Jewish shepherd Potter from B'Chor? Vegab b'chayrus hainu tam de v'lodois b'turim ha-mechayrim kivin de la'yav zuzay. If the Jew will not give the guy back money for his investment, also nachar tafis le'behavna, so the guy is going to come seize his animal back, v'lo'y mishkach le'behema, and if he doesn't find the animal, tafis le'vlodois, he'll take the children. So we have a situation of a havele yad nachar be'emtza. There is some Akum relationship to these animals, and as far as Hilchus Bechayr is concerned, Kol Yad Nachri Be'emtza Potem Bechayr. The Halacha Bechayr teaches us that if a guy has any minimal involvement, even if it's very minimal, that animal is not Mechuyiv in Bechayr. The Pasuk says in Mishlei, Ma'ar Behoime B'Neshach V'Tarbis L'Choyn El Dam Yikzeno. If somebody tries to increase his wealth by collecting ribbis, he will collect it, will go to someone else who will give it out to the poor. What does that mean? What it means is Shvar Malka, who was a Persian king who would put taxes in Jews, and the money that he got for taxes he would give to the Akum. And what Rav is teaching us is that if Jews get ribbis illegally, ultimately that money will be confiscated and be given to the goyim. Omer of Nachman, Omer Huna, Loy Netzucha, Al Fila Ribbis of Kachavim. That even ribbis that's taken from a goy, not only ribbis that's taken from a Jew, but even ribbis that's taken to a goy, will have the same consequences. Eisvei Rav Rav Nachman, the Pasuk says, Lenochri Sashich, my sashach. What does the term mean, sashach? Lav tishach. Doesn't mean that you're allowed to take interest from a goy. So how could we say that you're not supposed to take interest from the goy? So Mefarshim asks, just because the Torah says that you're allowed to take interest from the goy, wouldn't we have a right to Rabbanan have a right to say that you're not allowed to take interest from the guy? So what's the Gemara's question? Yes, the Torah says l'nachri sashach, that you're allowed to take interest from the guy. But what the Torah is teaching us here is the Rabbanan, however, said that you're not allowed to. So Ramban and Rashba explain that the Gemara assumed that in the Havamina that Rav Nachman meant that you're not allowed to even take ribbis from a guy midaraisa. And at that, the Gemara asks, how could you say that even midaraisa, you're not allowed to take ribbis from a goy, when the Torah says, l'nachri sashich, that you're allowed to take ribbis from a goy? That's how the Ramban and Rashba explain the Gemara. Tosfos, at least this is the way the Rishash explains the opinion of Tosfos, says that what the Gemara means as follows. And we've quoted this. The Rishash says that according to Tosfos, the explanation of the Gemara is that the Taz teaches is what the Taz says. The Taz says that even though the Rabbanim certainly have a right to say some things are usur, something that the Torah explicitly said is mutter, the Rabbanim can't say is usur. And the example the Taz gives is that if a bris is supposed to take place on Shabbos, Rabbanan did not prohibit making that bris, even though there's perhaps a concern that the moil is going to carry the knife, brishus harabim. If the Torah explicitly said, ubiyoyim hashmina yimoil, and we explained the pasuk to mean, afil b'shabbos, something that the Torah said explicitly is mutter, the Rabbanan won't say it's asur. And that's pshat in the Gemara. Since the Torah said, l'noch risashich, that we should take ribbis from a guy, so it can't be that ribbis from a guy is usur, certainly not midaraisa, nor even midrabbanon. If the Torah said it's mutter, the Rabbanon wouldn't have said it's usur. My sasha loy sishach doesn't mean that you're allowed to take interest from a guy, so how can we say you're not allowed to? Loy. It means sashach, that you're allowed to pay interest to a guy. Says the Gemara, loy sagid laf hachi, must you pay interest to a guy? Says the Gemara, lafukid achicha deloy. What it means to teach us is that you're allowed to pay interest to a guy, but you're not allowed to pay interest to a Jew. Ask the Gemara, achicha, for that you're not allowed to pay interest to a Jew, behedik sebe, there's another pasuk, lachicha loy sashich. I don't need this pasuk to teach us that interest to a guy is, to a Jew is asur. Answers the Gemara, the pasuk of lachicha loy sashich teaches us a laugh. The pasuk l'nachri sashach comes to teach us level of esiv leisa, say that if a Jew pays interest to another Jew, he's over both the mitzvahs asay and a mitzvahs leisa asay.